This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Angels Unaware.
This is a really inexhaustible topic this morning. Of course, all the hymns were about angels, and you thought we were doing Christmas, but we weren't. We're just focusing on the theme of this morning is about angels and the impact that they can have on our life. And when I've been preparing for weeks to present this to you, I was just praying to the Lord, help me to find a way to get my arms around this so I can present this vast topic to you in such a way that it doesn't add confusion and brings light to your heart and mind. So I want you to be patient with me. There's one or two lists. I'll try to present them in such a way that they're more than just a list. But see what the scripture has to say, and I'd like to begin with a story. In her book, Evidence Not Seen, A Woman's Miraculous Faith in the Jungles of World War II, Darlene Dibler Rose tells of her experiencing following the Japanese invasion of the island of New Guinea in World War II. When the Japanese invaded the island, her husband was dragged away. She never saw him again. And she was left with another woman in a rat-infested house on the outskirts of the jungle. Japanese troops were everywhere, and so were ruthless bandits. One night, her rest was disturbed by what she thought were rats. She heard them moving around in the living room, in the dining room, along the hall. She tried to ignore them, but when she heard a book fall to the floor, that did it. Margaret, she called to her fellow worker, grab your dressing gown. We'll light the lamps and have another go at the rats. I've been hearing them from one end of the house to the other. A hall ran the full length of the house. When she pulled open the bedroom door in the dim light of the little night lamp, she saw someone swish past her. Stepping into the hall for a better look, she found herself face to face with a bogus bandit. That was their name, bogus, B-O-E-G-I-S. He was wearing a black sarong that flung over his shoulder to free his machete. With one fluid movement, the knife was extracted from his belt and held up in a striking position. On impulse, Darlene rushed him, and the man inexplicably turned and ran down the hall, through the bathroom, across the porch, and into the trees with Darlene hot on his heels. Other bandits appear, and together they fled. Darlene stopped dead in her tracks and whispered, Lord, am I out of my mind? We can all say, yeah. Instantly, a verse flashed into her mind. Quote, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. From that night on, Darlene slept with a club at the foot of her bed, but she never had to use it. The bandits never returned, although they returned several nights later, but never entered the house. She was not disturbed again. She suspected the gardener among the bandits, and after the war, she asked him about it. Yes, I was one of them. Darlene later wrote, when I asked him why they never entered the house again, he answered incredulously, because of those people that were there. Those people in white, the ones who stood above the house and about the house. The Lord had put his angels around us, and he had delivered us. Myth, truth, reality, biblical. Here's what Hebrews 13:2 says. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. People have stories about angels. If you are a person who goes to seminary, the idea of angels is one of the things that gets absolutely little or no study. They're not interested in anything about angels. Why? It's in man's nature to be skeptical and opposed to all things supernatural. Once it goes outside of the five senses, once it passes my understanding of what understanding is, once it goes beyond my knowledge and beyond the fact that I don't know what I don't know, as far as I'm concerned, it must be a myth. Can't possibly be true. Liberal scholars generally deny the virgin birth, reject Jesus' miracles, and dismiss the Genesis account of creation. All relegated to the myth, and forget what it is they do to the book of Revelation. Reality tells us there is much in life that falls outside of our grasp to explain or theorize. Because of this, human wisdom, intellect, imagination, art, music, creativity, or experience is not our guide to learning about angels. The only reliable source about angels is the angel textbook. And I've got it right here. God's Word. There is much in Scripture about angels. Over 100 references in the Old Testament to angels. 165 in the New Testament. And 34 out of the 66 books that comprise your Bible share insights into the who, the what, the where, and the why of angels. I'd like to begin my study this morning with just kind of an overarching understanding of the spirit world. The Bible speaks of the spirit world. What's that about? And then I'd like to share this list of the nature of angels. And then I want to share with you the work of angels. And that's what's in your study notes this morning for filling in. It's the work of angels and how it relates to you. So let's begin with the spirit world. Angels are part of what the Scripture calls the spirit world. Philippians 2:10 defines it. It says this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Everything, as vast as we think creation is and know it to be, all of this is encompassing into an invisible and sometimes visible world of the spirit beings. There are various kinds of spirit beings that inhabit the unseen material world in space and under the earth. Let me share a number with you. Number one, the triune creator God. God's there. God's in his heaven, on his throne. Seraphim, Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 7, these are the winged angels whom God told to guard his throne in heaven. So that's where they are. They're in heaven with God, guarding his throne. Number three, the cherubim, Genesis 3:24. These were the ones that guarded the garden of Eden with fiery swords. Genesis spoke of that. Ezekiel 10:14 says something interesting about them. They can shape shift. They can shift their shape. They can be a cherub, it looks like an angel. They can be a man. They could be a lion. They could be an eagle. Why they would have all those different shapes is revealed in Scripture through a number of accounts. But they can do that. Fourth in the spirit world are spirit animals. For those of you who don't believe that animals are in heaven, look at what Revelation 19:11 says about these creatures that are shaped like animals that we have on earth. Heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. And then verse 14 of the same chapter says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. They could have done it on a Mercedes. They could have fought in a tank. But God's bringing us all down on horseback. I'm ready. You know how I feel about horses. I'm ready for it, man. I never had a white one. Always loved the Lone Ranger in silver. But I know that the steed we're going to get is going to be pretty impressive. Fifth, Mark 4, verses 1 to 11 demonstrates that Lucifer is a sham ruler of man's dominion on earth. He thinks he's the boss. He does control a lot of people's thinking and mental mindsets. A lot of the things we see in the world today, we cannot understand, cannot get our arms around me. As far as I'm concerned, there's no way I could ever understand what happened in New York State a couple of weeks ago. When the members of that congressional group stood and cheered when the governor of New York signed an edict that said, even when a baby is born, that baby could be killed. I don't get it. It's demonic, and I'll say it. Amen? Oh, come on, man. Number six, the archangel Michael and chief angels who rule kingdoms and planets are there. Seven, common angels. The Bible refers to them as good angels. Demons and fallen angels, God refers to them as evil angels. Those are the eight that are out there, and there may be more. Secondly, the nature of angels. The word angel means messenger. An angel is a supernatural or heavenly being a little higher in dignity than man. Jesus, the Bible says, was made a little lower than the angels. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Imagine that. He was the host of all the angels. He was the king, the prince of all the angels. He was the top dog. And he lowered himself to even be made lower than the angel and become one of us. You talk about love? Nobody's ever loved me that way. My wife loves me and I love her with all my heart. We love each other. But Jesus exemplified what love really means, and he gave himself for us in that way too. Psalm 148, verses 2 to 5, and Colossians 1:16 tell us that angels were created by God. We don't know when, but we know according to Job 38:7, it was before the creation of humans. They were here before we were. Read your Bible. It's in Genesis 2. Hebrews 1:4 describes them as spirits, more often invisible, but occasionally visible, in a bodily form that people can recognize. They've got hands, they've got feet, they've got a face, they've got legs, they talk, they even eat. Don't give me that angel's food business. They even eat. Luke 20, verses 34 to 36, Jesus says they don't marry and they don't die. Are those two things connected? I don't think so. They don't marry and they don't die. It took you a while, right? Some of you will have to wait till tomorrow. Job 20, they were created all at what time? This is interesting to me. They were created all at one time. They didn't come from a pair of angel parents, the way man descended from Adam and Eve. God created all of them. Each angel is unique to himself, but they all possess some amazing characteristics. For example, angels possess superhuman intelligence, Matthew 24:36. But they also are not omniscient. They don't know everything. They know a lot, but they don't know everything. There are plans that God has that he hasn't even revealed to them. Like when he's coming back, when Jesus is returning, even the angels don't know that. They are stronger than man, stronger than any man. 2 Kings 19:35 tells the story of one angel who killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. How strong are they? 2 Peter 2:11 illustrates that they're not omnipotent. They're not all-powerful. 1 Corinthians 6:3 tells us they are not glorified human beings. They're different and distinct from man. The Bible tells us that there are a lot of angels. Hebrews 12:22 calls it an innumerable company. Revelation 5:11 kind of rounds it off. Listen to this. The number of them is 1,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Millions. Angels are highly organized and ranked. Psalm 89, 5 and 7 says that they are part of groupings called assemblies and councils. I kind of had to have my eyes opened again to see this one. Michael is expressly called an archangel. He's the only one. Most people think that Gabriel is. We'll get to him in a second. In the 66 books, it is his voice that you will hear at the rapture. The voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. Are you listening? Are you waiting? Are you anticipating? Are you expecting? Do you believe that in the moment, in the instant, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be called out of this place to be home with the Lord? The angel Gabriel, mentioned four times in the scripture, his name means the hero of God. He is the chief messenger that God uses to deliver momentous messages, such as what he told Joseph and Mary. The Bible tells us angels have emotions. They lust. They seek vengeance. They have pride. They get angry. But they're also wise, patient, meek, modest, and obedient to the Lord above all things. Daniel 10, 12, and 13 tells us in the Bible, that they are faster than the speed of light, faster than 186,000 miles a second. They can get from one place to another just like that. Guess what? You're going to have a body just like that. The Bible says your glorified body will be able to defy gravity, pass through what appears to be material walls, get from one place to another just by thinking about it, beam me up, Scotty. It's going to be like that. You'll be able to go from place to place. Just think how amazing that is. Genesis 1:31 and Jude 6 tells us that the angels were created holy. I missed out on Revelation 4:8. They don't need to rest. And then the Bible tells us that they were created to be holy. 2 Peter tells us the other side of the story, that they became fallen angels. Peter calls them angels that sinned. They sinned because of what? They sinned because they had their own will. Let me demonstrate that by taking you to Isaiah 14 and asking you to stand with me as we read from God's word, Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. Ready? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Thank you. May be seated. I will. A will of his own. A will to rebel. A will to be faithful. You have that same will. The world has that will. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ or to reject him. It's up to us. Ephesians 3:10 calls those who refuse to follow Satan good angels. Ephesians 6:12 labels those who did follow and did fall evil angels. The work of angels as they relate to you. What does it mean to have the angels relating to you? What does that mean? Well, first of all, number one, you have guardian angel. You have a guardian angel. Could have more than that. Let me give you this authority for that. One, this is Billy Graham's story. One of the most comforting truths in all the Bible to me, as I travel from one part of the world to another, Billy said, is to know that God has stationed his heavenly guards to protect, guide, and lead me through life's dangerous ways. I cannot see these beings with my physical eyes, but I sense that they are present every day. Take a look at what the Bible says. Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. You believe it? You believe it? It's not a myth. It's truth. I believe God's word. I'm not going to say to you, well, here's what God's word says, but let me tell you what I think. No, here's what God says, and I believe. And that's how you study God's word. Read and believe. Number two, at death, angels will guide your soul to heaven. Luke 16:22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Think of that. When we think of death, you know, if we're unbelievers, it's a scary thought. And for us as believers, sometimes we have scary thoughts about dying. But one of the things the Bible says is when you die, when you give up your spirit, you're going to see this spiritual world. It's going to become evident to you. It's going to become as real as I see you and you see me right now. And the Bible says that when you take that last breath, there are angels who are going to come around and guard, and they're going to take you through space, home to heaven. It's not going to be a lonely journey. It's going to be a journey accompanied by the people whom God has assigned, the angels whom God has assigned to take you home. Are you ready for that? Number three, angels arrange a divine appointment for you to witness. Acts 10:13, it was an angel that connected Cornelius and Peter. When you pray for a divine appointment, God can work things out through angels that somebody who needs to hear the gospel will be right in your presence. He'll set up that appointment. It won't be a coincidence. It'll be a God incident when he assigns an angel to make that connection. But when that connection is made, you need to be listening for the clues that are going to come to you. When the person says, I'm disgusted with life, there's a clue. When the person says, I'm having nothing but misery and I've gone through the worst time in my life, there's a clue. When a person says, I've just given up, I don't care anymore. I don't care if I live or if I die. There's a clue. And when a person says to you, I'm so disgusted, I want to take my own life. That's also a clue to you to share the gospel and then make sure that they don't have a plan to do exactly what it is they said they wanted to do. Number four, angels stand witness to a person's conversion. Think of this. Take a look at this verse, Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. In other words, when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, angels were watching. And angels were rejoicing. You see, we're not alone out here in the cosmos. For the non-believer, the cosmos is just a big, black, empty space. For us, there's a spirit world out there. For us, there's hope out there. For us, there's encouragement. For us, there's strength. For us, there's companionship. For us, there is reality out there. It's not just a God in the sky by and by and hope in the sky by and by and maybe it's going to be a better life. It's promises that God's made and God's keeping. So it's not an empty space. It's a space filled with help and hope and comfort for you and for me. The angels are watching. Sixth, angels can encourage in times of danger or difficulty. As Paul was traveling by boat to Rome, a great storm occurred at sea, threatening the lives of all the people on that boat. And an angel, in the midst of the storm, just about at the worst moment, an angel stands alongside of Paul, Acts 27:24, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that shall sail with thee." The angel brought a word of encouragement. You know, that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to encourage you. And God can also send a thought to you that comes from an angel or some event that comes to you that way. We never mitigate what the Holy Spirit's doing. We always make sure we give credit to the Lord. But God can also use an angel to bring you an encouraging word. Who is that angel? It could be somebody on television that you're watching who's preaching the gospel. It could be sitting at Bible study one night and somebody brings you a word of encouragement. It could be something said from this pulpit or something you hear from another brother in Christ or sister in Christ, an encouraging word that comes from the Lord. Angels can bring answers to prayer. Daniel was in jail. He was praying for wisdom. Gabriel, the chief messenger from God, appeared to him. Daniel 9:22, and he informed me, it says, and talked with me and said, "O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." When Daniel was over his head as a politician, when he didn't know which way to turn, boy, don't we wish the people in Washington would turn to the Lord when they're over their head. Because I got news for you, they're way over their head. How wonderful it would be if they could turn to the Lord. He would provide an answer. He'd even send an angel with an answer if that's what it took. Whatever it takes, God is not afraid to use it. God's not afraid to use any of the resources at hand that He has provided. The Holy Spirit, an angel, the Word, your brothers and sisters in Christ, He has an array of ways to comfort, encourage, and strengthen you. And He'll use all of them if He has to. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He watches over. Seventh, angels will be present at the rapture and Jesus' second coming. Amen. Matthew 17:27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father and with His angels." I'm looking forward to that day. I'd like to be around for the rapture. I mean, that would give me the biggest kick of all. For all of us to be leaving at the same time, I can look to the left and see you, look to the right and see you. That'd be so cool. It would be great if it happened right now. But God is not willing that any should perish, because there are still people who are unsaved. We know that. Some of the people you love may be unsaved right now. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to you about who that person is, what an opportunity for you to speak to them. Don't let go of those folks. You say, "But I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed." Well, we all pray and we all pray and we all pray. And God answers our prayer. Just don't give up on them. Don't give up on the people you love by giving them the gospel. Keep living it. We started the message with an account of angels at work in the life of a believer, and we end with another story of God's care for you and me. Author Robert J. Morgan, in his book Stories and Quotes, writes this: "Years ago, I popped into a hotel elevator and find myself standing beside the famous Christian writer and Nazi death camp survivor, Corrie ten Boom. I recognized her at once, having read her books and seen her on television. When I introduced myself, instead of giving me a usual greeting, she squinted at me as only an old woman can squint and answered with a Dutch accent, 'Young man, have you ever seen an angel?' 'Well, I have,' she said. I said, 'No, I don't think I have.' And again, she said, 'Well, I have.' And in the time it took our elevator to reach the bottom floor, she told me of a time when she was smuggling Bibles into communist Eastern Europe. The border guard was checking everyone's luggage, and she knew her load of Bibles would surely be discovered. In alarm, she prayed, 'Lord, you have said that you would watch over your word. Now, please watch over your word that I'm smuggling.' Suddenly, as she looked at her suitcase, it seemed to glow with light. No one else saw it. But to her, it was unmistakable. There was an aura of light wrapped around that suitcase. Her turn came at customs, and the guard, who was so diligently opening and inspecting every piece of everyone else's luggage, glanced at her bags, shrugged, and waved her through. "It's an angel," she told me, "who has helped deliver God's word behind the iron curtain." You just never know. Don't count God out on anything. Don't count God using any miraculous or supernatural means to reach you with his help and comfort, to reach the people in your life who need the gospel. Don't count him out on using whatever resource he has to help you in times of need. And be careful when you speak to strangers. You might be meeting angels unaware. Let's pray. We pray today, Father, that you would open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to the many ways you have to reach out to us. We trust your book. It tells us so much about the ways in which you can reach out to us. Help us to keep our mind open to these things, Lord, and our hearts open, and our eyes open, and our ears open, lest we miss an opportunity to be ministered to us by an angel. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.